Hey, what's up, man? We made another week.
Hey, buddy.
I'm
How are you?
good. All right, we've got another
Good.
topic. I
Yeah,
want to
what are you
talk
thinking
about
about
ones
this
and
week?
zeros.
Oh my gosh. This is almost like back to last week's
I know.
railroads. Ones
Ones
and
and
zeros.
zeros.
There might be a
The
little history
yeah,
lesson required to
the
translate this
basis
for
of all
young.
computing goes down to ones and zeros until they figure out quantum computers, which have more than ones and zeros. Okay.
So, are you going to go all the way back to punch cards, or are we just going to
Punch
leave
cards.
zeros for
Yeah.
a sec?
So there used to be a company called International Business Machine. They did typewriters. I learned how to type on a typewriter. That's just scary. I think the year
Oh,
after me, it was PCs. It
yeah.
wouldn't have been PCs. It would have been like Commodore 64s or some, anyway, whatever. It is
Right.
what it is.
Yeah.
But I want to
That's
talk
it.
about the one of my thoughts around AI and why it won't work. And really, the key is abstraction. And what I'm getting to is
Oh, that's a
it
big
is a big
statement.
statement.
Okay. Why it won't work, but abstraction is what you're thinking may be the issue
Correct.
here, the
And
sticky
the
widget.
reason why everything can abstract, even this video eventually breaks down to ones and zeros, because a
Yeah, sure.
machine is very good at that continuous repetition. Right. So if you go and
Oh,
open
right.
code, like this is like back in the day, I'd had some WordPress sites and it blew my mind that when you go into the back end of every single website in the world, it is literally a file folder of code that says display it this way. Like that's literally all it is. And there's essentially a database behind it that's storing the information inside of it. And it's got, back in the day, it was the LAMP stack, which is Linux, Apache, MySQL, and PHP. Like
Right.
that was the stack that
Yeah.
ran 95% of the internet. It probably still does, but I don't know what that is today.
Truthfully.
But if you think about that abstraction, we go to a web page, and we see something that's beautiful or ugly or whatever, but it's there. But that abstracts down to z ones and down to zeros and ones on a hard disk somewhere in a server in the world or multiple servers. And it can only do that because throughout,
Yeah.
our lifetime, we went from DOS, right?
Yeah.
From DOS, which, it reminds me of the Oregon Trail play game, which was super fun. Right, where you had to do the name of the file and do .exe in order to execute it. I mean, that's going back, but like that was before Windows, right?
Yeah.
And then you throw another abstraction on
Right.
top of that, which is a graphical user interface, which is just another abstraction, which then you throw docs into
Yeah.
that, which is just another abstraction. But the abstractions work because there's no breakage from all the way to the
Yeah.
top, all the way down to the bottom. So let's switch gears. Let's talk about LLMs. I love using LLMs to write emails. It's fantastic. And it never writes them the same.
Interesting. Well, that's because it's trying to keep up with your unique voice, right? Isn't that why it does it differently every
I mean,
time?
from
No, I mean it's funny, right? Because it isn't a step and repeat.
It,
It's not
yeah,
a
there's nothing,
consistent.
it can't be abstracted. And actually, if you talk to people that understand and write LLMs, they don't know why it has made the
Oh.
decisions or chosen the words that it chose.
So it's almost like a choose your own
Yeah, and
adventure.
I believe,
Being
and I'm
randomly,
by no means am
yeah.
I an AI expert. I think I'm probably more, I know more than some, but
Yeah.
essentially it's taking all of the words and it's giving a prediction based on what the next word should be. And so every time it's basically saying, hey, look, what should my next word be? And then or in order for it to not be robotic, it doesn't always pick the top word, right? So you throw in randomness at every word or every other word or every couple words,
Right.
you're going to end up
Yeah.
with something that you can't abstract, which is why one of the, like which is why I think going back to last week's episode, we talked about the difficulty of getting these into enterprise systems. Like, I don't want my
Right.
bank
Yeah.
having some LLM saying, how much money do you think Chris has?
He has $47. He has $4 million. He has 38 cents. He owes us $100,000. Yeah, it's the variability. You know, as you say that, Chris, it makes me think about, as a young finance guy, one of the common tools to start to make forecasts was a Monte Carlo simulation. It's just a statistical model, like run a series of variables and give us an almost infinite number of, or approximate an infinite number of permutations, and we'll look for the common, the central mean. What's the common tendency? So in theory, if all of us are using AI in the same way, we should eventually be getting to identical emails, or at least very similar emails in voice and tone and word choice. We're not seeing it yet, which is kind of interesting. And you think it'd be an abstraction?
I don't
think it
will. I don't think you ever will, because the reason is it's learning on your account. Right. And so I believe, and I don't know this, like this is where you end up with the scary underbelly of these corporations. Like Google has a little bot inside that's looking for me, and it probably knows me better than I do. Cause it knows my history. It knows, it reads my emails. Mm-hmm. Like it's doing all these things. And so there's a little Chris Terrell somewhere hanging out in Google that they know exactly what I want, and they need to know that because they need to feed me advertisements because they need to get paid. And so I think these LLMs do the same thing, where it's like they take your text, they take the text that you're putting in to get more of your voice.
Right.
And so then it just deviates. But the challenge for corporations wanting to get paid is, for LLMs, you've got to pull the data out and there has to be a human in the loop.
That final step of abstraction, talking about the same leap from ones and zeros to beautiful websites, is language models into
It's
useful.
It's, hey, human write action. An email about blah 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 because so and so da 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 da. Right, and it'll write the email, but I still have to read it because it's going to make some assumptions. But I've got to be in the loop because I've got to be that layer that converts that into either my voice or make sure that it's not saying the wrong thing.
Right. Wow. I have to think that if I step back for a second, one of the recurring issues, as I've heard folks talking about the advent of AI and what does this mean for us as a workforce? And today on NPR, I heard them saying, It's about capturing expertise.
Yeah.
And that idea of like expert knowledge, that may be true, but abstracting expert knowledge into decision-making that's the difficulty. Or abstracting that knowledge or information into something actionable is this layer of abstraction that is going to continue to evolve.
Well, and I think, and maybe the reality is we expect it because it's on our devices, it's on our computer. We expect it to abstract naturally down, and we expect it, and we want to be lazy and be like, just trust it. And the thing is when you get into these big behemoth of machines, like these big, mega corporations, you can't do that.
Isn't that interesting? Because sometimes we want data to be perfectly translated and that we've known, right? And so we can test that. But, and this gets into the world, the things we do and don't know. How do you test a predictive engine when you don't know what the answer should be?
Yeah, which is just really interesting. The other thing is, let's just say we have an LLM that's just sitting here, like where you and I have a note taker, right? Everybody has a note taker. Last week we talked about the how the internet got so messy with messed up stuff. I don't know if you check your email. I mean, your email is probably the same as mine, but I get more distractive notes from AI note takers and other people saying, hey, look, by the way, this is something you should care about. And I'm like, you're just driving me bonkers. Like, you are not helping me at all. like, I get it, right? It's almost like this novel thing of like the first time you saw an ad on the internet in the Netscape browser, you're like, oh, that's so cool. And then come back 3 weeks later and you're like, I don't even know how to search for anything anymore. Like, and so what's interesting is like, I think we intuitively know the value, but we want to place it at a enterprise level or enterprise grade solution that can be abstracted like our finances can. And it just doesn't work that way.
Chris, it's interesting because whether it is attempts to monetize, which is what I initially blame, or the experimentation of AI, which now I'm increasingly thinking might be at play. I've noticed that when I used to feel like a pretty successful searcher and could use search engines to dig in multiple layers deep to find less frequent results. Now, when I go in and use Google, which is, I think for a lot of us, the default search engine, I'm presented AI information that has done abstraction layers or distillation across a lot of sources. So now I can't see the sources. And then I met with sponsored links. And so I'm usually two or three pages deep to try to find actual organic results on the topic I'm searching for. Similarly, I've noticed on Amazon, and this is why I think, oh gosh, is this Amazon on purpose or is this Amazon experimenting? But I went out to look for something really mundane, like printer ink. And it was presenting me printer ink options across a wealth of printers from a variety of suppliers. And it was presenting data different than what I had submitted. So I put in my specific Canon printer. But what it was reporting back to me was data that I hadn't submitted
or
recognized. Like I had to open up the machine to go, what in the heck is a 054? Well, that's the shorthand for like the generic cartridge I use. But I'm like, no, 054.
Well,
so 6-7.
What's interesting about LLMs, right, is that they basically tokenize language, right? And it's like printer. And that falls in this kind of, if you think of it like almost like a piece of graph paper, like all the printer information lives up in the printer area. Printer ink,
right,
lives up in the other printer ink area, right? What the LLM doesn't understand, and humans intuitively do, you're like, I'm not looking for notebooks here. We're like, I am looking for a specific thing to a specific mechanical piece of like a physical product that has to have a physical, like an OEM, like replacement.
Yeah.
What's interesting is that's where these LLMs break down is it's like, oh, great. You're in the right area, but you don't understand that for printer ink, it has to be very specific to the actual model, make and model of the printer that you have. For notebooks, pens, paper, that stuff doesn't matter. But the LLMs they don't think. It's just in that grouped area. And so like, again, it's like the abstraction that a human looks at and they're like, well, that's just weird, right? Because we intuitively know. What's interesting is like talking about process, you know, that is like, that is our podcast, right? So if you think about how people explain the processes that they do, generally they don't have a very good idea. They almost do their job by muscle memory. And I run into that, like, as we're working on implementations and getting people into new systems and making their work elegant, you ask them what they do and they show you where they do it. It's the most fascinating thing ever. And it's because we are so, we're so creative and flexible as a species. Where, especially when it comes to automations, like everybody wants the output of automation when it's done right, but very few people want to do a process consistent enough that needs automation. And so again, this is one of those things where it's like the human has to do the work somewhere.
Right. Yeah.
And
Well, there's an imprecise language around how we do the work that I think you're describing. I can't tell you what I do because I can't name it accurately enough. And I'll show you. So let me take you to where I do the work.
Or you're visual, right? And so if you're visual, you're going to go show them. If you're tactical, you're probably going to go show them the clicks. If you're audio, you might actually tell a story about it, right? It depends on who you are and how you work. But it really is interesting that like these, like we underestimate our ability to just figure things out.
Right.
Like, when you tell people to like define logic, they very quickly run into, oh, that's really hard. You're like, yeah, that's why you should fix the process first and not assume for 100% automation. Because you can get there for how much is SAP running that relationship?
Give or take 100 million.
And by the way, you'll still have an Excel spreadsheet that's living somewhere. But
Chris, that's super interesting. It's that thought of like, mapping a process just with lines and boxes remains as true today as it was 30 years ago, because we can't necessarily articulate the scope and sequence, but when we make it visual, we can start to appreciate
it. And it's almost like as humans, as you know, the people in the process of our jobs, oftentimes we are, we do, when the systems break down, we are the humans in the middle that are doing the abstraction to get it into the abstracting system, which oftentimes is just our PC or our database or whatever. And so it's really interesting. Like, and I think this is where AI becomes more of a blockchain than it becomes the internet. Like, it'll be useful.
Yeah.
But like, wait until people start charging you for the AI, then the game changes.
Yeah, which is almost unimaginable given the cost of the world today.
Right.
We've already paid with cash. Then we paid with our personal information. I don't know what the next form of payment is that comes when we, our children. I will gladly trade you. Yeah. No, it's a really interesting question. I love this thought of abstraction, and for all of our efforts to move beyond ones and zeros, you know, we've kind of come full circle, and now we're entering a new phase of ones and zeros.
Yeah, the key here is that from a purely process standpoint, there's going to have to be a human in the middle. Even if you go to one of the most automated manufacturing companies in the world, you will still find humans in the loop. Because they're either servicing the machines, they're manufacturing the machines, they're doing something. Because we can't, you know, we can do pretty darn good. And I've seen a McDonald's fry factory, and it's flipping amazing. But there's still humans there. There's still a human driving the truck, dropping the stuff in, and there's people watching the machines and making sure that they're doing what they're wanting. And yet, as knowledge workers, our work is so much more nebulous.
Yeah, that's interesting. Whether it's a automated fry factory or computer chips, you know, people managing multi-million-dollar machines to stamp computer chips, or even like a lights out warehouse where everything is pick and packed with robotics, there's a role, but the roles, they look very different.
Yeah, and the role may not even be local, right? Like if it's a pick and pack, they might be running computer software. It's anywhere in the world.
Right. Yeah.
Correct.
From Mars. Yeah.
So
crazy. Well, on that happy and encouraging note, hoping all of our listeners continue to lean into their ability to abstract and tell the difference between a notebook and a printer.
Well, and the
toner.
Key is if you're in the middle and you're going to be through for as long as you're working, you're going to be stuck in the middle. At least make that middle manageable.
Totally. I love that.
Catch you next week.
Good. Hey, thanks. Another good week. We'll see you.